Hey everybody, welcome back to today's Daily Accelerator for March 13th, 2012. My name is Mark Ashton, I'm the lead pastor at Christ Community Church, and today you read some passages from Joshua 13 through 17. Now, one of the things you probably noticed right off the top when you were doing your reading is that there's some kind of contradiction between Joshua 11 and Joshua 13. In Joshua 11, Joshua wins all the battles and the land has rest from war. But here in Joshua 13 that you read today, there's still a good bit of work to be done by the individual tribes to whom different areas or regions have been given. Now, what are we to make of that? Well, I don't think there's any real contradiction here. The major campaigns that would require all of the army of Israel, all of the full tribes working together to take over major pieces of territory and major city-states, well, those are done. But as each tribe goes in to settle in their particular turf, what they find is that there are small remnants of people that are still not subdued in rebellion, not reporting in through the tribes of Israel. And so they go after these pockets of Canaanite civilization in order to mop up and finish the task. Now, there's a strong parallel here to the spiritual reality with which we find ourselves dealing with right now. Because Jesus won the war. I mean, at Calvary, he beat Satan and sin and death once and for all, but we still have these little remnants of sin that are alive in our culture and even in our own personal lives that we have to continue to battle against throughout the time of the rest of our lives to mop up in these areas that have still yet been unliberated. Well, the task that was assigned to every tribe was, sadly, never fully completed. And that created immense problems for the next generation of Israelites. I'm going to head over to the map here and show you a little bit of what that winds up looking like. You see, for example, there are certain places that were not subdued by the Israelites. If you take a look at this map, here's the Mediterranean Sea and the Sea of Galilee, the Dead Sea. And this full area is the area that Israel was to take over. And you'll see the 2.5 tribes that were on the east side of the Jordan River and where they wound up settling in. But you'll notice there's some clear blank spots that are on here that they didn't take over. There's this area right here and this area here and a little bit up here. And interestingly, those areas were trouble spots for the Israelites for the rest of time. For example, right down here, you know what exists there? 5 cities of the Philistines. And you know, the Philistines came back to haunt them in wars and battles throughout the time of Samson, and then again throughout the time of David, the wars continued on with the Philistines. You can even carry that into the modern day. Did you realize that the word for Palestine or Palestinian is actually a derivative of the word Philistine in the Greek? And these 3 key areas that were uncontested in Joshua's time, guess what they call them today? The Gaza Strip, the West Bank, and the Golan Heights. These are the 3 areas that you hear on the news are still in conflict between the Israelites and the Palestinians, and that goes all the way back to the day that Joshua and his men didn't clean up the area in the way that they were told to by God. Well, if you continue on in Joshua 14, 15, and 16, you find some great things about the life of Caleb. Now, Joshua had this constant connection with Moses, and he would have at least been partially insulated from some of the complaining of the Israelites, but Caleb was not the same. I mean, Caleb still lived amongst the Israelites in all of their complaining. Caleb was kind of delayed for 40 years from the promise that he knew he was supposed to get in going into the promised land. And the incredible thing about Caleb is, despite all of this, he stayed faithful to God. A couple of words that typify Caleb would be faithful and obedient. And even some 3,400 years later, these same 2 keys will release the power of God in our lives. You know, one of my very favorite quotes from Caleb is when he was in the land of Hebron, and they had not quite finished taking over this area right here that God had promised to Caleb all the way back when he was in the desert and he was faithful to God. God promised him Hebron. So he comes up to Joshua and he says, "Hey, Joshua, I'm 85 years old and I feel like I'm in my 40s. Now let me have that land. Let me at him." And so Joshua says, "You go get him. You take the hill country." And so he takes this hill country right here for Israel at 85 years old. What a model of faithfulness that guy is.
And this is the reason why I named my firstborn son after this great man, Caleb. Because he was faithful and obedient for the entirety of his life, and he should rank among one of the greatest Bible heroes on our list of Bible heroes. Well, Joshua 17 comes in after that. And there's a couple of things I want you to notice from Joshua 17. The first thing I want you to notice is that even before all of the tribes had received their inheritance, seven of these tribes were still waiting, the whole nation gathered at Shiloh to set up the tabernacle, the tent of meeting there. Now, if you check this out on the map and you say, hey, where is Shiloh in this territory? Shiloh is located right here. Okay, there's Shiloh. And you'll notice that it's right smack in the geographic center of all the people of Israel. When it comes to setting up the tabernacle, what does that remind you of? When they put it together in the desert, the tabernacle was right smack in the middle of all of the tribes of Israel. So they chose this central location as a symbolic reminder that God is still in the middle of our tribe and for tribes. And for generations, it stayed at that place in Shiloh, all the way until the time of Samuel, when, because of a kind of a superstitious notion, they foolishly took the ark with them into battle, leaving Shiloh and believing that, like some kind of a charm, it was going to guarantee victory against the Philistines. And keep on reading in your Bible to find out how that turns out for the Israelites. One more thing that's pointed out in chapter 17 is that the tribe of Joseph, which is named Ephraim, had a little ego problem. They were the descendants of Joseph, and Joshua was even one of their tribesmen. They had important associations with the man in charge, and they were pretty proud of their heritage. They thought, we didn't quite get enough land in the allotment, Joshua. And Joshua realized this is not their key problem, and he was quick to point it out. He said, Joshua said, look, why should I ask God to give you more land when you haven't done anything about possessing all of what he's already given you? You see, they had plenty of space if they would just deal with the obstacles. On one hand, they had the forests. On the other hand, they had the Canaanite people who had iron chariots. Clearing the forests would be too hard. Clearing the Canaanites would be too risky. And so they weren't taking advantage of the territory that they already had. The enemy was so deeply entrenched in their land that they wouldn't move to dislodge them. Well, in commenting on this passage, a guy by the name of Alan Redpath in Victorious Christian Living said this: how often is this situation of the tribe of Ephraim so much like our situation? The children of Joseph were not satisfied with their lot. There wasn't enough scope for their gifts, they thought. They wanted a larger sphere of service. Yet the fact of the matter was that in the sphere that God had given them, the enemy was still deeply entrenched. Your complaint, he continues, may be the same, that you don't have enough scope for your own abilities. Are you constantly discontented with your present lot? It may be that the searchlight of God's word will disclose that the enemy is still deeply entrenched in your soul. You know, there's a lot of merit in that application. Oftentimes we want more territory than God has seen fit to give us, but the real problem is that we haven't maximized the use of the territory that has already been granted to us. Well, those are some thoughts from the middle of the book of Joshua. And this is Mark Ashton wishing you all God's grace and that you do the most with the territory that he's given you. God bless you.